credo. I believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our catechism question this morning, what is faith? Faith is a supernatural gift of God, which enables us to believe without doubting whatever God has revealed. We take it now word by word. Faith is either actual or habitual. Actual faith focuses on one particular fact. Christ is risen from the dead. The priest has the power to forgive sins. Habitual faith places us in a disposition to believe everything Christ teaches us through his church. Faith is a gift of God, freely bestowed in baptism, poured into our soul, or infused by the Holy Ghost. Cradle Catholics, have you ever thanked God you were born as a Catholic? Converts, have you ever thanked God lately for the precious gift of the true faith? Faith is supernatural. It is not essential to our nature as our reason is. It is not given to us for some natural purpose as are the eyes or the ears. And it is not ours when we are born, for we are born in sin. Faith is to believe, which means to hold as true on the word of someone else. Two kinds of faith, human, on the witness of another. If someone tells you today there was an accident on 75, I saw it, you believe him if you consider him worthy of belief. Based on the word of God, that's supernatural or divine faith, the truths of revelation. When we believe, we have to believe without doubting, firmly, without hesitation. Why? Because God's speaking to us. We have to believe whatever, that's the next word, interesting, whatever point of doctrine, whatever dogma of the church's teachings, without exception, and whether we understand it fully or not. We believe whatever God has revealed in all different ways, sometimes by means of a voice, as God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, sometimes by means of angels, as the angels gave instructions to Our Lady and Saint Joseph, or to the prophets in the Old Testament. By signs God speaks, the sign of the miraculous star that led the Magi to Bethlehem. But most of all, by Christ, the Eternal Father's eternal word, and through his apostles who are instructed by our Lord. And last of all, by the church, which proposes those truths Christ taught to all of us to believe. And she alone defines truth, and she alone warns us against error. Last of all, the qualities of faith. Your faith has to be entire, embracing, as I say, every article of the creed without exception. It has to be firm, without any hesitation. We're not talking about an opinion or an educated guess here. It must be steadfast, as was the faith of the saints of old, going back to Abraham, who believed so strongly he was willing to sacrifice his own son. And it must be living, something actual, something effectual, something, as our Lord says in the gospel today, that bears good fruit. And lastly, it is supernatural. It is from God, and your faith has one purpose, to lead you back to God again. Now, this weekend, we celebrate our independence from England. I read yesterday a quote, though, from an Englishman and a Catholic about our country. G.K. Chesterton once said that the United States is a nation which is unique in this, that we are founded on a creed, the very principles that we are meant to celebrate tomorrow, what that creed is, I want to speak tomorrow about in the sermon. But our country is founded on a creed. It is not founded on common ancestry or language or religion or history. Obviously and foremost, the church is founded on a creed, on the faith of Peter specifically, that faith of Peter which was spread by Paul, St. Paul, to the Gentiles and throughout the whole world, that faith which we believe. That's why we are here this morning. We believe. That being the case, did you ever consider why is it that regardless of how many Catholics there are in the world, we, unlike the Novus Ordo, say, I believe in one God when we recite the creed. The Novus Ordo has it now in the plural. It would almost make sense, wouldn't it? A common profession of faith for all of those who hold it true. It unites us. But we say, I believe. I remember my pilgrimage to Lourdes almost 20 years ago. It was the only time in my life I'm conscious of being part of a great crowd of thousands with whom I shared the same belief, because we were all praying the rosary together. But before the rosary, there were hymns. They chanted the creed. And they, despite all of those thousands that were there all holding candles at night, very impressive sight, they all sang Credo, I believe. Now, at the Mass, in the Gloria, it is not so. At the Gloria, we sing the praises of our Lord together. You have to know a little Latin today. Laudamus te. The M-U-S ending is the first person plural. We praise thee. We glorify thee. We give thee thanks for thy great glory. We adore thee. It's all we. But when we come to the Credo, we are not meant to lose ourselves in the crowd. Every phrase of it is an expression of your personal belief for which you are personally responsible. The same thing as the Confiteor. The priest does not say at the foot of the altar, they probably do this in the Novus Ordo, he does not say confitemur, which is we confess. The priest says, I confess to Almighty God. Why is that? Because my sins are my sins, and your sins are your sins. Each of us is individually responsible. So too with the creed. In lonely isolation, no matter how many are present in the room, every Catholic makes himself responsible for that tremendous statement, I believe. This is the reason I want to have this series of sermons we started at Pentecost on the creed, to help you to say it intelligently, not as a rigmarole, not as a form you had to learn to make your first communion when you were a child, but the expression, rather, of your individual point of view, more than that, of the philosophy of your own life, a philosophy which you are fully prepared to explain to others. When we say credo, it is John Smith and Mary Brown and all I, the individual, believe. Have you ever been told, I suppose it would be an odd thing anymore, what with all that we face today as Catholics of the old faith, have you ever been told that you should be proud of being a Catholic? You should be, each one of you, very proud of holding to the true Catholic faith. You children received it as a precious gift by means of your parents' faith. Alas, we face a temptation in this country and throughout the world where we live amidst people who don't like the idea of believing so much as we do. And in the back of our mind, we get a little ashamed of being a Catholic. almost as though there's too much on the list. Almost as though it must be that the less you believe, the more clever and sophisticated you must necessarily be. Well, that comes from looking at things the wrong way. It is not how many things you believe, but whether you believe the right things that matter and whether you have the correct evidence to back you up. I mean, if I ask you, do you believe in the Loch Ness Monster? And if you tell me, well, yes, I do. I saw a program about it once on TV, and I just believe in the Loch Ness Monster. I would say, alas, not a good answer. But if you say, yes, I've been always quite interested in that, and I made a trip to Scotland one summer, and I visited the Ness, and then I talked to some people that were eyewitnesses. I believe in the Loch Ness Monster. And then I would have to say, you do well to do so. You'd be a fool not to. Don't ever let it get you down that you come across people who do not have as much belief as you do. Very likely they haven't come across the evidence of our Christian religion, such as we have, and perhaps they have, but they've never been able to weigh it or estimate it at its own worth. The worst situation for them. But of all of the silly things our modern world proposes, perhaps the silliest of all is its habit of not believing in things. Nothing is easier than not to believe in things. But you believe. That is why you have come to worship at the Mass today. You believe because you believe the Church is a trustworthy source of information. The Church of 20 centuries, not the modern, but all of those saints and all of those scholars, they could not have been wrong. It is interesting to note, though, that when it comes to the Creed, there are several articles which are not strictly speaking matters of belief. The first, I believe in God. We believe, remember, that the existence of God can be known and proved by reason alone. And then the part in the Creed about how our Lord was crucified under Pontius Pilate, the apostles put that in to say that our Lord was a historical personage. This was not made up, despite what the modernists will tell you. If you ask people, most Americans would say, yes, I suppose I believe in God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was crucified under Pontius Pilate? Well, there seems to be a lot of evidence for that. But they don't do anything about their belief. They're unable to deny these truths, but could they be said really to believe them? I don't think so, because when you believe in any sense worthy of the term, it means much more than just not denying it. It means you focus your mind on it. You let it haunt your imagination. And you care desperately if this is true or isn't it. It matters to you. I suppose that many of you are rather devout Republicans. If I were to, there mustn't be any more politics from the pulpit. Let's put it this way. Theoretical case. Tomorrow at the barbecue, you meet somebody who tells you, oh, don't worry about Bush and appointing a successor to Barbara Day O'Connor. Reagan got a pro-abort lady in, and Bush will do a good job, too. You say, what do you mean? You're going to doubt our president? And this man goes on to tell you, oh, he says, there's not a nickel's worth of difference between Republicans and Democrats, and actually liberals do more damage in a Republican term than in a Democrat one, and besides, look at all the lies that Bush told us about the weapons of mass destruction to get us into Iraq. And he carries on about all those things at some length. And you, a devout, dues-paying Republican, who have placed all of your hope in Bush and his plans, are devastated to hear such an opinion. How can it be? And you're upset for the rest of the day. And you argue to support him with all of your might and all of your main. Now, mind you, that just has to do with your world view. Very important, but it's just this world. But your faith, if something about this faith we preach in this church is not true, well, that affects all of your eternity, which is what? World without end. Do you see what believing truly must mean? It colors the whole of your imagination. It lends coherence and logic to all of your thought. If you believe something, you're obliged to live it and not to keep it as a little secret for Sundays. It matters enormously when you say, Credo, I believe. But at the same time, we mustn't think that because we believe, accept it as true on the word of another, that we don't ever have to give any thought to what we believe. Catholics have a kind of a reputation for that. Oh, well, you're a Catholic. That means you have to believe all these things. So if, remember we had our political discussion at the barbecue tomorrow, say you get back to work Wednesday or Thursday, and there's an argument at work about the immortality of the soul, and it's going against it. And most people are saying around the water cooler, no, I think that when you die, that's pretty much it. The soul is not immortal. Your soul does not live on. And it's your turn to say something. What do you say? Well, I'm a Catholic, so I have to believe it. That's not much of a Catholic response, is it? If you are a Catholic, you should know why you believe it. Not only for your own sake, but especially for the sake of your neighbor, so that you can explain it. At the very least, you should be able to explain why this is not proved, this denial of the soul's immortality, even if you can't quite see your way clear to proving it. But you should be able to do that too. Oh, and when you're arguing religion, please avoid the temptation to be smug and say, well, I'm a Catholic and we've always believed this, and if you don't, you're going to go to hell. That may be true, but your job is to help someone go to heaven, and it starts with a coherent, logical explanation of our holy faith. Another reason to give your faith some thought and some study. Some of these lovely babies that we hear every Sunday morning, especially at the 11:30, are going to grow up in our Catholic faith. The majority, pray God. And oh, about 18, 20 years from now, they're going to be called to the married state. And we Catholics are not much on mixed marriage because we know its difficulties and its problems. And they will be looking for someone who is either a Catholic or who will convert to the faith. Now, they will grow up, doubtless these babies will, to be charming individuals of deep conviction. And their non-Catholic friends can't help but admire that. And they may be willing to investigate becoming Catholics. But if you give the impression that you believe what you believe simply because, well, that's how it is, and I've been told, and what do I know? What kind of converts do you think you could be leading into the faith? No. If you believe, it's because you live it, because you've wrestled yourself with the difficulties, and you've prayed your way through it, and you know with every ounce of your being that it is true when you say, Credo. I hope this morning that I've helped you to see that believing means more than just admitting something to be true, because you can't see your way clear to denying it. Believing a thing in the theological sense means embracing it as something by which you are going to live and for which you would be willing to die, as were the apostles. And on the other hand, believing a thing means knowing what you are talking about. We Catholics do not leave our brains at the door. You are meant to think these things through, not just to shout out your faith as a kind of a slogan or a condemnation of those who do not share it. No. Remember that belief is not a matter merely for the head, for the intellect. nor merely for the heart, for the will. Belief is an activity of the whole you. I, all of me, believe. Credo. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.